Thank you, Joy, and it's a great privilege to be here with you today. And I say this because this week we'll begin, I'll be gone, leaving on Wednesday, and I have a heavy travel season in the spring semester, and so much of the rest of January, which is about gone, but February and March will involve a good bit of traveling. And so I consider it a great privilege to be here and to share with you, and to share with you what's on my heart. And our speaker, Major Needham, on Friday spoke about being connected and the importance of being connected. And so today, as I speak about Sabbath rest and call us into that place of Sabbath living, we know that it depends upon being connected, but it depends upon being connected to the Almighty, to our Heavenly Father. And so I'm going to begin with scripture. I want to use a text out of Hebrews to set the stage for us, and you will see it on the screen, or you may also want to pull your Bibles out. In fact, I would encourage you to do that. I'm going to expand even the scripture. I'm going to be reading from Hebrews 4, beginning at verse 6, through continuing through verses 13, and some of that passage will be on the screen for you. It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. But there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And there are two words that I want to focus upon out of this particular passage. In fact, let me go down a little bit further. In verse 11, let us therefore make every effort to enter in. Let us make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. Now, this is in chapter 4 of Hebrews. If we were to look at chapter 3, we would see that the Israelites were not at rest. They were in a great struggle. They were their hearts had become hardened. They were anxious and were walking in what God refers to as disobedience. And so that's why the author we typically give credit to, Hebrews 4, Paul said, if he's the author, but there remains a rest. He's trying to lead them from being at that place of struggle and not being at rest out of chapter 3 into chapter 4. But you'll notice that there are two words that are very important, and one of them is we must enter that rest. And so what this says to us is that we have a choice, that God is saying, I'm calling you to enter this place of rest that I've offered for you. God has done the work, but he's saying, I invite you to step into that place of rest. And note also that he invites us to remain there. And the Holy Spirit is the only one that can make this possible. We cannot do it on our own. Now, it's in the first 2 weeks of the semester I have thought and prayed long and hard about what I wanted to speak about today, because there are so many things that I think about in relation to you. I think of you very often, and I often have those conversations in my heart and mind with you, even when I'm not with you, and thinking, oh, this would be a great conversation for us to all enter into. But I believe what the Lord has laid upon my heart for us to talk about and think about and to ponder is, what does it mean to enter that place of rest? What happens typically on a campus community is by midterm, you're feeling pretty overwhelmed. And I know sometimes my conversations with you at midterm will reflect that, and you will be talking about feeling stressed and anxious and so much to do and wondering whether you can do it. And so what I want to do today is to talk to you about rest before you get tired, before you get weary, and before you begin to feel overwhelmed. Because it's not too late for us to commit to a lifestyle and to a schedule that, rather than overwhelming you, will be a lifestyle that will empower you. I understand what it means to feel overwhelmed. I experience the same reality you do. I have the same struggles in that you do. And I often begin the day realizing that there's more to do for the day than there is time. And there are many other external kinds of pressures that we all humanly experience. But I believe that God is calling us to a place of understanding that we must enter that rest and stay there. Now, I've mentioned that I am beginning to travel more in this spring, and so I'm getting ready. I travel with two bags, and one of them I have already packed. So I have this bag full of important things. My second bag is reserved for clothing and shoes and other important things I might need. But this is one of my most important ones, and so I want you to see how ready I am. I have my Kindle. It has newspaper subscriptions on it, so I'm able, when I'm in the airports and on the plane, I'm able to be keeping up with what's happening in the news. I have my GPS, and I've mentioned this before. I refer to the GPS. GPS stands for God's Prevenient Signals. 2 miles before I need to exit the highway, my voice is Matilda. I've named her Matilda, and so Matilda starts talking to me. Exit right in 2 miles. And so I've got my GPS. I have my iPad. This is wonderful. It keeps me from having to carry my laptop, which is very heavy and would get kind of crowded in this bag. But the iPad allows me to have a larger screen to type emails back and forth to folks, but it also allows me to sit in conferences and meetings and to take notes on my iPad. It allows me to search out Safari to see what's on the internet that I need to look up. So that's important. Oh, this is really important. These are my headphones, my headsets. And so at the end of the day, if the hotel has a fitness room, I'll go to the treadmill and put this on, but it's got a nice wire that I can plug into the TV on the treadmill so I can watch the news and keep up. See what else I've packed. Oh, yes, my iPhone. I've got to have my phone. None of these other things will actually allow me to talk back and forth with one another. So I've got my iPhone. I'm ready. But you know what all of that means? Chargers. This is my phone charger. I complained to Paul Dupree about all of these chargers I have to take every place, and he got a phone charger or a car charger that will be charging the GPS and the iPhone at the same time. So one plug in, but two cords. Cannot forget that because I don't want to be driving down the 8-lane freeway in LA and my Matilda quit talking. Then I've got these labeled. If I did not put a label on them, I would not be appropriately wired. This is my iPhone electric plug. This is my Kindle plug. This is my GPS in the room plug. This is my streamer that I can put around my neck and my Bluetooth that I can talk hands-free so I can be in the car and walking, driving and talking at the same time. And then, of course, I've got my little jump drives for my presentation. I've got my remote control for my presentation. If I've forgotten anything, I don't know if I'm going to have much room left. But what sometimes happens, if I don't think ahead of time in getting packed, I'll end up without my phone charger and something goes dead. So I need to have all of these things with me. I'm wired. I am really, really wired, and I'm ready to go. But the problem is being wired does not always mean we're connected. I was sitting in the Charlotte airport sometime last year with all of these wires and my connectivity around me. I was on the phone, I had my Bluetooth around my neck, and I was doing, you know, all these important work things I needed to do. And I kind of waited for my next plane. I was headed someplace else, and all of a sudden I looked up and noticed that no one else was at the gate but me. That did not feel very good. I found a ticket agent and went to the counter and said, "What about my plane?" And she said, "Oh, well, ma'am, that left 30 minutes ago." we called your name. We called and called for you. And I was just like, oh my goodness. I was so wired, so doing all of these other things that I wasn't connected to the voice that was calling my name that I really needed to hear. And it was a pretty stressful occasion. I had left from Tampa, Florida, and I'd come to Charlotte, and then I was headed to a regional event we were having that evening, and I caught a taxi that morning at 5 o'clock, and so I just barely got up and ran a brush through my hair and put my clothes on, thinking I had all of this time when I got to my next place to get ready for my event. And I got there just 20 minutes ahead of time and really had to hustle it to be ready for that next event. And so being wired, and you are all equally wired as I am, being wired does not mean that we are connected. On the other hand, we can look at it from the other end, and we can be connected, though we may not be wired. And that's the most important thing. My mother, who died just a year ago, was never wired. In fact, it was very difficult for her. I remember buying her a cell phone and saying, Mother, you need to carry this phone with you when you're out working in the yard or taking a walk. You need to have this phone so that if anything happens, you would be able to call someone. And it was a huge learning curve. And I would ask her if she was using it. Oh, yes, I carry it. She would always say, oh, yes, I carry it. And I think the message was, I have it with me, but I'm really not using it. But she was very, very connected. And after her death, and I was going through with my siblings her home and looking through things and having to make the distribution that we did, I came home with 6 of her Bibles. I have 3 other siblings, and they all went home with them too. But inside her Bibles, as I would begin to read, she had written in red all through her Bible. In the front pages, in the back pages, sometimes there'll be blank pages, and they were completely filled with red writings. And she had said previously that she wrote in red because when she would feel Jesus speaking to her, revealing something important to her. And it might have been through another speaker, it could have been through a verse, or it just could have been something that was new and fresh in her own heart. Well, she would write that in red throughout her Bibles. And so I took 2 or 3 of them to a friend who has a daughter that's very good in technology. And I said, I'd like for Hannah just to type up these sayings that my mother's written. I'd love to be able to reflect upon them or look at them. Well, she showed up at my door on Saturday, this past Saturday, and she brought me a book. And not only did she type up the sayings of my mother, but she had it produced in a beautiful book. And so you can imagine that I have enjoyed spending some time this weekend reflecting upon what it means to be connected but not wired. The very first statement in this book is, I am the one that Jesus loves. Isn't that powerful? And you know that each one of us are those whom Jesus loves. I am the one Jesus loves. If we would wake up each day and say out loud, I am the one that Jesus loves. Another one, live so as to be missed. God is listening, pray on. Never take more work than you have time to pray about. I wondered if my mother wrote these thinking about her children, whom some of us were not walking with the Lord at this time. It's a verse, I will contend with him that contends with thee, and I will save thy children. I wonder if she was so connected to the Lord that she was claiming that for her children. This is a good one. Profanity is ignorance made audible. I hope she had not heard one of us say something, but she had written it in her Bible. Profanity is ignorance made audible. Note, he who walks with God will be out of step with the world. Are we willing to be out of step with the world? At another place, Lord, show me what you had in mind when you made me and how you want me now. Another one, and I wonder if this might have been written in some of her latter days, my times are in your hands, O Lord. So many, many evidences of what it means to be connected, though not necessarily wired. And so I want us to think about how it is that we enter into that place, how we are truly connected. And obviously, it is not about carrying around a bag of wires and technology. That's not what being connected is about. It is about entering in that place. And so, how do we enter in that place? And I want to suggest to you that no matter how painful things may be, no matter how overwhelmed, no matter how burdened and weighted we are, juggling academics and health and wellness and financial pressures and relationship pressures, that the Lord still says, enter my rest. So how do we enter? I'll say, first of all, there's no substitute for us intentionally making that own decision to enter in that place to be connected. Wishful thinking is not a plan. I have many wishful thinking ideas, but they do not get me where I need to be. The musician does not become accomplished just by wanting to, or the athlete become a skilled athlete without rigorous practice. And no one can do it for us. This is the thing, that we have to enter into that place ourselves. And so I want to suggest to you some ways that you can enter into his rest. You must spend time each day. It absolutely will require time each day, because the outside stimulation will be overwhelming and it will crowd out our connectivity to the Lord if we are not spending time each day, turning our electronics off, closing our eyes, not having external distractions from the world, but saying to the Lord, Lord, I just want to hang out with you right now. I want you to pour your love out on me. Have you asked Jesus this morning to pour his love out on you? If you have not, then you cannot understand as fully as you need to, and I need to, that I am the one that Jesus loves. We have to shift our attention from ourselves. We are so caught up in ourselves. It's an epidemic. It's an addiction that we are so caught up in ourselves and what's going on in our own world that we are unaware and unable to connect in to what would be on his mind. We're so self-aware and so self-absorbed. So we've got to spend time with him to sit still and to allow him to help you, to ask him, to talk with him, to have a conversation with the Lord, just like we would our best friend. But to have a conversation with him and say, Jesus, would you help me? Holy Spirit, I need you to help me. And that means we must wait. And for some of you, this waiting is, it's a four-letter word. It might be the profanity that my mother was referring to, the four-letter word, wait. We must wait on him, or we will not hear from him. And so we sit, we get quiet, we get disconnected from our external world so that we can begin to focus upon him. And you know, the Old Testament talks much about the temple, and it was in the temple that God said, come to the temple, and that is often where he led people to be in communion with him. But thank Jesus for New Testament times in which Jesus has come and he says, I will send my spirit to indwell you. And so the Lord has taken up his residence within us, the Holy Spirit, the divine spirit, to connect with our human spirit. Now that's connectivity, the divine spirit and our human spirit being connected. And so the temple now is our body, and this is where the Lord has taken up residence. And so we're not talking about Sabbath being Sunday. In the Old Testament, when we referred to the Sabbath was the Saturday, the last day of the week. And at some point later, the Christian fathers moved the Lord's Day to Sunday. And so when we refer to Sabbath, it doesn't even mean Sunday. And Sunday is not what Sabbath is about. Sabbath never ends. Sabbath is every day of the week. It is a way of life, and we can remain there. We can be at rest even in the middle of midterm exams. We can be at rest while searching for a job, while experiencing disappointment in a relationship. In fact, it's these very kinds of pressures that call us to the point of recognizing that we need to be living at rest. So we can't enter that rest. We must intentionally walk there. What are the benefits of being at rest? What are the benefits of living Sabbath every day, being at rest each day? It renews our strength. We are human. We are every bit human. We run out of energy. We become weary. We become conflicted. We become disappointed. And entering into this rest and staying at that place will renew us as often and as frequently as we are being connected to the Holy Father. It renews our strength. It renews our purpose. You know, your calling here is to be a student. This is your calling for this time. It's not to say, well, I'm a student now, and then when I graduate later, I will fulfill God's calling. Your calling is right now to be a student here. And so the Lord will, as we connect with Him at that place of rest, He will renew our strength, and He will renew your sense of purpose. He will bring calm to you. I can tell you that it will help you to sleep better. It will help you to study better. Because it's this place of being connected, of having entered in to that place with Him, that we recognize His divine compassion and we recognize His divine sympathy. And there are many this morning that really need to be experiencing His divine compassion and sympathy as your hearts are breaking over circumstances. It's the place where we receive direction. It's the place where we receive wisdom. It's the place where we receive encouragement that's beyond human understanding. It's the place where He heals the brokenhearted and sets the captive free. We need to be free of those things that control us. No wonder there's no rest when we are walking through life as if we have a ball and chain hanging on our ankle and we can barely walk because we have not allowed the Lord to take our bondage. We've not been freed up from those things that control us and that bind us. And so it's in that place, if we've entered in, it's in that place where God will free us up from our bondage. How do we stay there? We stay there day by day. I think this is one of the most difficult things for you in this season of your life, and it's difficult for me because I want to be thinking, well, what about 1 year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now? What should be happening? And we do have a sense of a human and a divine look long term, but what the Lord's really saying is, let today take care of today. Be obedient, and I will walk you through tomorrow as it comes. And so this is a daily journey. Time alone with Him, time in prayer, time in the Word. I'm in a Tuesday night prayer group that I've been a part of for 26 or 7 years. I've lost track. And our leader and teacher and mentor there, Margaret Thirkelson, talks often about, I want to go on with God. There's this ongoingness. And so it is important for us to have accepted Jesus as our Savior. And it's important that we recognize the Holy Spirit, and we have the Holy Spirit that's filled our hearts and we've surrendered our lives to Him. But it's not just about being saved and being sanctified or having the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it's also about the daily ongoingness, walking on with Him. And so I think sometimes we do get, as she was teaching, that we sometimes get to that place where we're saved and sanctified, so we read the Bible and we're doing good things, but we are not, I hear my technology calling down here. You see what a distraction it is? But there's an ongoingness that we want to go on with God. And so we are not today where He wants us to be tomorrow. There are greater joys, greater adventures, greater teaching and wisdom that is available to us if we keep moving on. And so what we have to do to keep entering go on is that we've entered in and we are intentional about staying there. So time alone, time in prayer and in the Word, and a commitment of saying, Lord, I want to go on, which is to say that I get into that place and I can remain there, as Scripture speaks of, I can remain there if I'm able to say, Lord, I want to increase today in my knowledge of who You are, but I want to decrease in myself. I want to decrease in myself so that I can increase in Him. And so we remain there by allowing him to reveal, then deal with our own pride, with our own self-centeredness. It cannot happen outside of being in this sanctuary, this place that we enter with him, into the sanctuary with him. It cannot happen unless we are with him. Allow him to reveal, then deal with our pride, with our self-centeredness. It is a conscious choice to walk and live in faith. I love this statement that my mother had written, is that when we walk with the Lord, we walk out of step with the rest of the world. And we have to be willing to understand that we are marching to a different beat when we are walking with the Lord. I just read an encouragement from a friend a few days ago that says, only God can move mountains, but faith and prayer can move God. This kind of faith is an awareness of the power that's available to us as believers. Do you know that Scripture says that we have the same power available to us as the power that raised Jesus from the dead? Are we living daily with that empowerment? The only way that we can experience that empowerment is to have entered into that place of rest where Jesus invites us into his presence. You know, there's a unique thing about the way he's created us, that we are both human and have his divine spirit in us. And so we can be about our work. You can be studying calculus. You can be preparing papers for your literature classes. You can be about the work you need to be about. And at the same time, you are living and walking and breathing in the presence of the Lord. It's an awesome reality. Sabbath rest is available to us as a free gift, day in and day out. Now, I'd like to suggest an experiment for us as a campus to focus on being connected but not being wired. What if, for one day, we treated our Bibles as we do our cell phones? What if for one day we treated our Bibles as our cell phones, which would suggest my little cell phone that was mentioning something probably that's coming up at 11. It was just beeping that something else is coming. What if I was allowing the Lord to be beeping me? Remember? What if we carried our Bible around in our pockets? Left our cell phones aside, but we carried our Bible around in our pockets or our backpacks or our purses. What if we flipped through our Bible several times a day? What if we turned back to get it because we forgot it? What if we checked our Bible routinely throughout the day to see what messages there might be there for us? What if we treated our Bible like we couldn't live without it? What if we asked for a Bible as the next gift, birthday gift, or special occasion gift we would like to have? What if we used our Bible for traveling? What if we used our Bible in cases of emergencies? This would mean we are truly connected. It would mean that we are intentionally entering in. It would mean that we want to remain there because we recognize the benefits that come from being connected with the Holy One. Campus community, now say to students, faculty, staff, administration, and most of all to myself, speaking to myself, let's not go through this semester anxious, stressed, and overwhelmed. Busy, yes, but not undone. It is never God's plan for his people to be overwhelmed, undone, unable to do what we've been called to do. Now, sometimes we attempt to do those things that we haven't been called to do just because there are many good things to do. But what if this semester we would be intentional in going through these next weeks and not submitting and allowing the anxiousness and stress to overwhelm us, but to recognize I've got to enter in. If I'm feeling stressed and overwhelmed and anxious, I've got to get to him. Let's get connected to him. Enter his Sabbath rest and remain there for this semester, and may it be. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have loved us so much that you've called us to the place of rest, of the Sabbath rest, which is a living, breathing, day in, day out, 24 hours a day type of rest that is available to us because of your holy presence being with us. Lord, we so need this. We desire this. Every one of us in this room want you to lead and guide and direct and show us how for that to happen. And so, Lord, I just invite your conviction upon myself. I invite your conviction upon this campus community to help us to not allow the weight of the world, the distractions of the world, the rhythms of the world to pull us apart from being fully at rest with you. Help us, Lord, to do that. We're counting on you, Jesus, to make this possible, that we would enter your rest and remain there. And all for your good and for your glory. And we do give you praise, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Go and rest.